This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين قال المؤلف رحمه الله باب الوضوء عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال لولا أن أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك مع كل وضوء أخرجه مالك وأحمد والنسائي وصحح ابن خزيمة وذكره البخاري تعليقا Narrated Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said If it were not that I would burden my ummah I would have commanded them to use the siwak along with every wudu. Reported by Malik, Ahmad, and An-Nisa'i, Ibn Khuzaymah graded it sahih, and Al-Bukhari mentioned it as a mu'allaq, broken chain from the side of the collector.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah wa ba'd. Last week we commented on the hadith لولا أن أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك مع كل وضوء. And I said this hadith also in الصحيحين في البخاري ومسلم with لأمرتهم بالسواك مع كل صلاة with every صلاة. And I said there is no contradiction between the two narrations because الوضوء comes with the صلاة. يعني مع كل صلاة مع كل وضوء لأن الوضوء يكون قبل الصلاة. So a person make wudu right before the صلاة. And also it shows you that this is a sunnah is to do it with the wudu and the other one also with the salah. So some ulama said that it is sunnah to do the siwak before you start your wudu and also before you start your salah twice. And you might say, what will be the point of the siwak before you start the wudu? They said, because if you do the siwak, you brush your teeth, whatever in your teeth, by brushing it, you will remove it from sticking in your teeth. When you rinse your mouth, you'll spit it all out. So it's much better when it comes to how clean you are, how fresh breath you will have if you do that. And we said that this hadith reported by al-Bukhari mu'allaqan. And that we said al-mu'allaq, basically, when the author of the book, the one who reported a hadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like al-Bukhari, Muslim, Abi Dawood, al-Nasa'i, any one of these scholars of hadith, when they narrate the hadith, they will drop the isnad. They drop the whole entire isnad or part of it. So he would say, Umar said. Okay? Then all he will say, the Prophet said. He will not mention, he did never met Umar radiallahu anhu. He never met Abu Bakr. He never met al-Hasan al-Basri. He said al-Hasan said, or al-Aswad said, or al-Qamah said. He never met these people. Between him and them, many generations. So sometimes al-Ulama do that for reasons. And al-Bukhari rahimahullah, usually he does this when he doesn't like the isnad. When he has a problem with the isnad, that it doesn't meet his conditions. So if it doesn't meet his condition, which is the highest level of authenticity, okay, if it doesn't meet that condition, sometimes he will mention it as mu'allaq. If he still believes that it is authentic, يُعَلِّقُه بِصِيغَةِ الْجَزْمِ. He will say, Umar said. Okay? Or the Prophet said. Al-Bukhari said the Prophet said without mentioning this. If he made it explicit like this, it means he knows it's authentic, but it doesn't meet the condition that he put for his book. Because his book, As-Sahih, has the highest level of authenticity. He only chose the most authentic one. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't have other narration. He believes it's authentic. We have Tasihat al-Bukhari kathira fi ghir as-Sahih. Many times we know al-Bukhari said about this hadith is authentic and he doesn't report it in his Sahih al-Bukhari. And you will see his students will mention that. Okay? And the reason he doesn't put the Sahih al-Bukhari because he wants Sahih al-Bukhari to a certain standard, very high. But he might narrate other ahadith. He find other ahadith, or he memorized ahadith, or he reported some ahadith that is not in Sahih al-Bukhari because it doesn't meet that condition. But it doesn't mean it's weak for him. Okay? And whenever he mentioned it in a way that in a passive tense, that means it has weakness in it. It means it has weakness. So he would say, it been said that Umar said. It's been reported that النبي said. إذا قال الحديث بصيغة التمريض معناه يرى أن الحديث عنده فيه ضعف. يقول روي عن عمر روي عن الحسن. Okay? So المعلقات البخاري has to be looked at it this way. The one which is he make it very explicit, very affirmative. The Prophet said, Umar said, and so forth. Or he said, if he make it sounds like doubtful. So it been said, it's been reported. And I would like you to pay attention to two things for those who benefit from it. كلمة الحديث ضعيف عند أئمة الحديث المتقدمين تختلف عن كلمة الضعيف عند المتأخرين. So the early scholars of hadith, when they say ضعيف, like Ahmad, al-Bukhari, you know, these early scholars, إذا قالوا ضعيف يعنون به أنواع. They mean, when they said it's weak, they mean the following. الحديث الحسن والحديث الصحيح لغيره والحديث الضعيف. So when they say the word ضعيف, weak, they mean the hadith which is hasan or sound, which is we accepted now as a reference, accepted in fiqh and everywhere. But for them, they don't call it sahih because it's not absolutely authentic. It is, you know, if we say above 60%, so that's why for them it's acceptable, but they will call it weak. But it doesn't mean it's rejected. So for them, not every weak is rejected. A weak for them in their language, it means something didn't reach that level of high authenticity. It has a little bit of doubt about it. Okay? So that's number one. Number two, that al-ulama al-hadith, almost all of them, if they ever use the word sighat al-tamrid, it's been narrated, it's been said, okay, it means they believe there is weakness in it. Okay? If they are from the later scholars of hadith, like al-Dhahabi, Ibn Hajar, it means weak, rejected. If they're the early ones, we have to clarify. Do you mean hasan? Do they mean not very authentic? You know, like listen, because al-hadith now, as we know it, three levels. Hadith al-sahih, then hasan, then weak, then the fourth level, which is fabricated on the bottom. The sahih and the hasan are acceptable. We use them in fiqh. We use them as a reference in ilm and amal. Okay? But the weak and the fabricated, we don't. So ulama al-hadith in the early time, before these four categories, they used just to say sahih and da'if. And da'if, they have it levels. Okay? So going back, so if the scholar said it's been بصيغة التمريض, I said it means he believes in the weakness of it. Except one alim, he doesn't follow this rules. He will bring hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, and he will said ruwiya. Anybody remember who that alim was? Huh? Ibn al-Athir, رحمه الله, sent. Very good. Ibn al-Athir, which is the one who wrote a famous book called Jami' al-Usul, Imam Ibn al-Athir, رحمه الله تعالى. So this hadith, why al-Bukhari made it mu'allaq? Because this hadith came from a man by the name Muhammad ibn Amr an Abi Salama an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Muhammad ibn Amr, he is not a weak narrator, but fi hifdhihi khiffah. Yani he is not a very accurate in his memorization. That's why this hadith this narration, this chain of narration, could be classified as hasan lidati. It's not weak. It's hasan, acceptable, sound. But al-Bukhari rahimahullah wouldn't report hadith in that it doesn't meet his level of authenticity. طيب, he said, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي. Had I not feared. This way of talking in Arabic language, لَوْلَا, يسمونها العلماء حرف امتناع لامتناع. أو حرف امتناع لوجود. هذه حرف امتناع لوجود. It means I cannot do this because this exists. I cannot order you to do siwak because that's going to make it hard on you. امتنع لوجود المشقة. طيب لو حرف امتناع لامتناع. لو كان هنا لأعطيته وما جاء امتنع وجوده فامتنع الإعطاء. Anyway, so here the Prophet ﷺ saying, had not, yani he did not make it obligatory, he did not make us make this action just because of the mashaqqa, which is basically means, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it will be basically not fear burdening my ummah. So he doesn't want to burden them. So it means if he would have done it, it would have been burden upon us to have siwak every time. Can you imagine every time you go to the masjid, we have a siwak to make? Would be a burden or not? That's right. How many of us now do siwak at every wudu? Very, very few. And every time. If it wouldn't been order, it would have been hard. If it's obligation, it will be hard on us. Okay? Even though obligation in general فيها كلفة. The obligation in general, it has تكليف. تكليف, it means a little bit of inconvenience, a little bit of effort. Yes, it is not very, it's a little bit of effort every time you pray to have to make wudu. You know, it is an effort to put. You have to wake up 5 times a day. That's an effort to put. So every legislation in Sharia, it required a little bit of effort. But here, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if I would have made this siwak obligation, the effort and the burden upon you will be so hard and you wouldn't be able to make it. Unless it will be absolutely harmful or absolutely very hard for you to do. And he said, my ummah, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, referring to the ummah that accepted his call, which is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims. As-siwak, exactly like the word kitab. Siwak, kitab, the same format. Ala nafs al-wazn. Wa ala nafs al-jam'. Taqul, suwuk, jam'u siwak, ka kutub, jam'u kitab. يعني back in Saudi Arabia, if you ask people, you get مساويك. لا أعرف لهذا صح. إنما هو سوق. يعني جمع سواك. سوق. It means the pearl of سواك. One سواك. Okay. What is سواك? In Arabic language, what is سواك? If you would look into the dictionaries, what the word siwak means, you will find two approaches. قال بعض أهل اللغة السواك هو ما يطهر به الفم. السواك, it's basically what purify your mouth. جميل. إذن هنا أطلق السواك على الفعل. السواك referring to the actions, which is التسوك يقال, بس يقال سوكا, يعني basically purify his mouth and make it smell good and fresh. أو يقال السواك هو الآلة. السواك is the tool that you use to clean your mouth with. Okay? And the next question will be, this tool that you use to purify your mouth with, is it any tool or it's limited to a specific tool? In Arabic language, the word siwak does not refer to a specific type of tools. If you take siwak as a tool, in linguistically, this tool is not identified. Any tool that you use to clean your mouth with, in Arabic, it is called siwak. So your toothbrush, it will call in Arabic siwak. Because it is the action which is that you do, the cleaning part, that's what is the tasawwuk is. So if you take any tree, basically you take the leaf like the old days and they used to brush your teeth with it, that's siwak. And it's been reported that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam استاكى بأصبعه وقال الحافظ ابن حجر وهذا صحيح صح عنه ابن حجر said it is authentic that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an authentic hadith that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made siwak with his finger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this and we call it siwak أيضا في لغة العرب in Arabic language السواك is not conditioned to a specific tree or a specific type of tools that you use. But no doubt, the best of tools that you can use is what the Prophet ﷺ used to use, which is Udul Araq, which is the Prophet ﷺ used to use basically a piece from a tree, it's called Al-Araq, which is the famous one that you guys see, it looks brown. And sometimes when it comes fresh, it comes green as well. It comes in both. So if you take the root, it is like a brown. You take the branches, it's a green. So some people, if you go to Mecca, you will find both the green and the brown. يأتي أحيانا أخضر ويأتي بني. الأخضر هو الأغصان أو الفروع التي تكون في العراق. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم used to love. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم used to love عود الأراك and النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم used to like it and he used to basically brush his teeth with it as عائشة رضي الله عنها reported وكان ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه يجتنبه يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم anytime ابن مسعود he goes out in the desert يكون في الصحراء ترى يرعى الغنم هو كان قديما وابن مسعود ذهب وراء شيء من عود الأراك. Anytime he finds this عود الأراك, this tree, take a piece of it, he will take it, he save it for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. يجتنبه يعني يحفظه للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا الحديث يدل على مشروعية السواك وفضله. This hadith show you the virtue and it is sunnah to basically purify your mouth at the wudu time to get ready for the salah. ولم يقل بوجوب التسوك أحد غير الظاهرية هذا من عجيب يعني مذهبهم والحديث يرد عليهم Nobody in the فقهاء الإسلام ever said that السواك is must only it is سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم only didn't make it obligatory upon us just because he want things to be easy for us sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam what we can learn from this hadith even though it's a short hadith but there is so much we can be learned from it even some of the ulama said 300 fa'ida can be driven from هذا الحديث قال بعض اهل العلم فيه 300 فائده ما بين فوائد لغويه واصوليه الى اخره one of the fawaid one of the lessons or we can derive from this hadith أن مطلق الأمر يقتضي الوجوب في أصول الفقه It's a usul rules. In usul fiqh, the principle of fiqh, that governing fiqh, we say that any time in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam make an order, that order means we must adhere to it. إذا أطلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرا معناه أنه لازم وأنه واجب وأنه لا اختيار. So anytime النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم make a statement that it has in it a command, that commandment, it means it is must and you have no choice, you have to adhere to it. Unless you have a proof that he doesn't mean that. Okay? Where we get this from? From the hadith. كيف يكون هذا الحديث يدل على هذه القاعدة? Can anybody tell me? Yeah, لأمرتهم. Had I not worried about burdening my ummah, I would have commanded them to make basically siwak with every wudu. So it means if he made the commandment, it would have been obligatory. And that's why he said it would be a burden on you. So دل على أنه لو أمر لوجب ولو وجبت لحصلت المشقة. واضح? Is it clear? So very clear in this hadith. Also, another rule we learn from this hadith, which is very beautiful rules, and it's considered one of the principles in Islam. واحدة من أعظم قواعد التشريع في الإسلام المشقة تجلب التيسير which is العلماء رحمه الله said the whole religion of Islam based on five principles. One of them is this principle came in this hadith which is whenever there is a hardship and basically a burden that will lead the Sharia to bring ease. That will lead to an ease. When we see that this is will be considered something that it is a burden you in a way that you cannot do it, it will basically be very hard for the person to adhere on it, Sharia immediately will come with a break. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. Allah wants only to make things easy upon you, not hard. Allah said He never made anything in the religion that caused haraj, cause you to be in a hardship or in a very tough position. But we have to understand this. This is not according to my standard, according to the standard of the Sharia. So that's who's the one who brings the ease? Allah, not me. Well, someone would say, you know, Allah, it's very hard to pray Fajr these days. Let me just pray it at 8 o'clock. You can't change the religion. واضح? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He made the rulings in the beginning, that you pray 50 salah every day, that wouldn't be hard or not? Huh? That means every 23 minutes or so, there is a salah. يعني 5, ويا الله يا الله. 5, barely we making it. Can you imagine 50? So Allah will not make this happen because it will be hard. But He show you that He can make that, but He wouldn't because of His infinite wisdom and vast mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 3. هذا الحديث يبين كمال رأفة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأمته. وحرصه عليهم. This hadith shows you how merciful and a caring person Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. That he cares so much about this ummah, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved this ummah, has so much mercy for it that he will not legislate, he will not do the thing that it might lead to put this ummah in it will burden this ummah. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't continue praying taraweeh. Why? Because he was worried it will become obligatory upon them. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam here he's saying, I would because I don't want to make it burden on you. Otherwise, I will order you to do siwak with every salah. طب, even if the Nabi said, make siwak, and he didn't mean to make it wajib, maybe other people will feel the obligatory, or feel that it is obligatory, and feel it must be done, and it will be, okay, I want to do the sunnah. طب, we live in America. Where do we get Iraq from? We import today, but before that, how can people do that? It would have been hard on people to do this. So, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cared to make things easy for his ummah. And this is a great lesson for the du'at and the student of knowledge and al ulama today, is not to try to make the fatawa or to give the answers or to give suggestions or to make requirements from the Muslim ummah and the community that put them in haraj, put them in hardship. And sometimes we demand things from people and it makes them in put a burden on them. We should not do that. We should not basically put our community in such position. Also, one of the lessons, a siwak is absolutely highly recommended sunnah with the wudu and with the salah, and became so much recommended or very highly recommended if your mouth smell bad. Next, سوك الفم هو تنظيفه. السواك is to clean your mouth. The best way to use the araq. But if you would do it with anything else, it is acceptable. You do it with a brush, toothbrush, it is acceptable. Also, a siwak, it is recommended in all time. Because we've been ordered to do it with the salah, with the wudu, and that applied to all time. And I mean by that, all time. In Ramadan or not Ramadan. While you are fasting or not fasting. And I'm saying this because some people said the fasting person should not make siwak, should not do the siwak, should not brush his teeth. And why? Or they said he should not do that after dhuhr. He can do it in the morning, but he cannot make siwak after dhuhr. And they said that there is a hadith in Ad-Darqutni, إِذَا صُمْتُمْ فَاسْتَاكُوا بِالْغَدَاتِ وَلَا تَسْتَاكُوا بِالْعَشِي. If you are fasting, make siwak in the early morning, but not afternoon, later afternoon. They said, why? They said, because the siwak changed the smell of the mouth. And in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the smell of the fasting person's breath, it's more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the smell of the musk. But that's a completely misunderstanding for the hadith. It doesn't. First of all, the smell that comes to the breath is not because of the mouth. It comes from the stomach, from the empty stomach. Number two, that the hadith is not about the breath or not. It's not about you have a bad breath or good breath. That's not the hadith. The hadith saying, don't stop fasting just because somebody said, I don't want to fast. Why? Because, you know, my breath will not smell good. We tell them, no, this breath that you don't like in the day of judgment will be more beloved to you than any other smell because of what leads to. So that's what the hadith is about. Yani don't let this stop you from fasting. Don't let this bother you. But it doesn't mean that you have to keep the smell. It's like recently we were talking with some scholars or students of knowledge, and they were mentioning the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about al-hajj. رُبَّ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ. There is a person who's ash'ath أَغْبَرَ. And I don't know what exactly they meant by that, but anyway, why they brought it up in that context, but anyway, there is a person who's dusty and his hair messy going to Hajj. So they said, you should stay dusty, and nobody ever say that. There's nobody any think that way. That's just, it's ujma. This is like not understanding Arabic. These are not description meant to be copied. These description are to describe the status, the way the person is. It's not for us to copy it and to do it. طيب. That's why al-Bukhari rahimahullah mentioned in his Sahih, Babu siwak al-ratbi wal-yabisi al-sa'im, that the person makes siwak with the siwak, if it is soft or yabis, يعني dry, you still can make it. One of the reasons why al-ulama, some said for the siwak, for the sa'im, they said, because when you do siwak, when you do the siwak while you're fasting, maybe there is a little bit of bits of it will fall on your mouth and maybe you'll swallow it. But in fuqaha rahimahullah said, even if this happened, it's forgiven because it's accidental. Another thing we learn from this hadith, so this hadith said, with every salah, so that's including Ramadan, outside Ramadan, in the morning, in the afternoon, at Asr, and so forth. نعم. قال بعض العلماء أن الحكم إذا دار بين الكراهة والتحريم أو بين الاستحباب والوجوب لتعارض الأدلة الأقرب أنه يأخذ بما يتيسر له لأن الشريعة جاءت برفع المشقة. العلماء رحمه الله put also another rule out of this hadith. If you have a decision to make and you see evidence, something saying highly recommended or just recommended, and someone said it's obligatory upon you to do it, or dislike, somebody said haram, and both have good evidence, good argument. Al-ulama rahimahullah said, in this case, when you make a choice, you choose based on what is more suitable to you. You couldn't come to a conclusion. See what's more which one of the two will make it much easier for you. Is this to avoid it completely, or it is what's the most beneficial for your deen, for your situation, to avoid it completely, or to do it as a wajib or mustahab and so forth? Why? Because in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every time he would be giving the choice between two things, he would choose the easy one of them, as long as both is not haram. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said that you do the siwak with every wudu. So it doesn't matter, this wudu for sleeping, this wudu for salah, what else we make wudu for? What do you make wudu for other than sleeping, before sleeping and before praying? Reading Quran, tawaf. So all this is, or touching the mushaf, it's recommended to have wudu. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ, I will order him to do a siwak. So it means you clean your mouth with however way you want. I'm saying this because some بعض الفقهاء, they said, it is recommended for you to do the siwak with the right hand, not with the left hand. So you brush your teeth or you do the siwak with the right, not with the left hand. Why? Because in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان يعجبه التيمن في تنعله وترجله وطهوره وفي شأنه كله, تقول عائشة رضي الله عنها. في الصحيحين in البخاري ومسلم, عائشة said that النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم liked to use his right hand whenever he put his shoes, so he start with right foot first, whenever he brush his hair, so he will brush the right side first, if you braid, you start with the right side first, okay? And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also fi tahurih, anything has to do with purification. So he start the wudu with the right hand, صح? So basically, you start in your purification of the right hand. So the ulama said the siwak is part of the wudu, kind of, because it's right before the wudu. And also a siwak, it is meant for purification. So you should do it with what? With your right hand side. Some ulama said, no. We should make siwak with the left hand. Why? They said, we look at the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Then we found, قال وجدنا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يستخدم اليمين في الزينة والشمال في الإزالة والنظافة وما يكره. We found that the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم used the right hand for purification, in a sense to add something good, like fixing the hair, putting the shoes, that's to beautify you. You know, it's like when he put on clothes, he put the right hand first in the shirt before the left hand. Entering the masjid, he put the right hand first, the right foot first. Okay? So they said, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, use the right only for thing which is so beautiful and nice. But when it comes to something that it has to clean or has to do with something not appropriate or not very good, he will use the left-hand side. So when he blow his nose, with the left. He on with the left. He clean himself with the left. He touch his private part with the left. So they said, a siwak is to move all this bad things and, you know, building up in your gum, your teeth. So it's a cleaning. So it's like any cleaning, it should be with the left. Did you see the debate? ذهب بعض المحققين كشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله إلى التوسط. ابن تيمية رحمه الله took a middle approach. قال السواك has two elements. السواك has two elements. One element is the cleaning, and one element is the fresh breath, and it's like a form of like it's like perfuming your mouth. Make it smell good and fresh and nice. He said, if you make the siwak for the purpose of making it smell good and fresh breath, you do the right hand. But if it's about food and cleaning the food or like waking up from sleeping, you do the left hand. Because that will go with that group's argument much better than the other one. And here, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah comes kind of in the middle between the two group. That's some of the benefits that we can learn from the hadith. Before we start the second hadith, anybody has a question? Yes. Yeah, when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said with every wudu, it's like ma'a kulli salah. We don't make siwak in the salah, during the salah, or after the salah. It's before the salah, so that's why the siwak before the wudu. The same way we understand both narrations. Yes?
So, you said that some of the scholars said that don't use the siwak in the morning and not in the afternoon?
When you are fasting.
When you're fasting? So that's what we should do?
No. I said the hadith is general. I said this hadith is general. I said with every salah, with every wudu. Asr, Maghrib, Fajr, Dhuhr. So, that hadith reject that opinion, goes against that opinion. Weak. Hadith al-Darqutni is weak. Yes. Mandatory for him? The siwak? No. The Prophet ﷺ was not mandatory upon him to do the siwak. Yes. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he makes the siwak, he can yashul sufah. Yani he will go up and down all the way to the upper gum and down. Then when he finish, he will yadla'u lisana. He will stick his tongue out, then he will brush his tongue with the siwak. We have the doctor here, but the dentist saying today, we should brush our tongue, that's right. And it is very healthy, actually. And I remember Dr. Shalabi, when he was giving also here a presentation before, was telling us, or Dr. Musa was telling us, Jazallah Khair, that I think the third reason or something like that for the heart attack, in America, according to the Heart Association, was basically a bad gum, that your gums are bad and it's not cleaned. The bacteria that grows around your gum and your teeth basically goes to your heart and cause a heart attack. And he said that's what number third, and this, it causes infection, that's right. Infection in the heart, not a heart attack. Infection in the heart. So, which is a very serious any issues here. And in Islam, care for the basically, not only to smell good, but also for your own health and your benefit. كانت عائشة رضي الله عنها, she will bite the siwak and make it wet with her saliva, so it will be easy for the Prophet ﷺ to brush his teeth with it, and he will take it and he will give it, and she gave it to him right before he died, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next hadith is, go ahead.
وعن عمران مولى عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه أن عثمان وعن عمران مولى عثمان رضي الله عنه أن عثمان دعا بوضوء فغسل كفيه ثلاث مرات ثم مضمض واستنشق واستنثر ثم غسل وجهه ثلاث مرات ثم غسل يده اليمنى إلى المرفق ثلاث مرات ثم اليسرى مثل ذلك ثم مسح برأسه ثم غسل رجله اليمنى إلى الكعبين ثلاث مرات ثم اليسرى مثل ذلك ثم قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم توضأ نحو وضوء هذا. Narrated Humran, the freed slave of Uthman radiallahu anh, Uthman called for water to perform the wudu. He washed the palms of his hands three times, then rinsed his mouth and sniffed the water in his nose and then blew it out. He then washed his face three times. Thereafter, he washed his right hand up to and including his elbow three times. Then the left one in the same manner. Then he wiped his head. Then he washed his right foot up to and including the ankle three times. Then the left one in the same manner. He then said, I saw Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing wudu like the wudu of mine. Agreed upon.
Now, this is one of the most important hadith when it comes to wudu in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform the wudu. And before we start this, I want to you to pay attention to a concept that we find in the sunnah in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sunnati ashabi. That we found that in the sunnah and the narration mentioned two types of wudu. نجد أن النصوص تدل على نوعين من الوضوء. The first one, you call it الوضوء الخفيف أو وضوء دون وضوء أو تمسح أو وضوء من لم يحدث. All these words, so I'm going to translate to you, are one category. You'll find in many narrations, they call it light wudu. Light wudu. Amara, light wudu, quiz? وضوء دون وضوء. Allah, you do that. No. Within? Less. Wudu less than a wudu, if that makes sense to you in English. A wudu less than a wudu. Also, they said tamassaha, wiping, touching, ahsan min wiping, touching. His wudu was touching. Another description, this is the wudu of the person who did not break his wudu. This is the wudu of a person who did not break his wudu. So that means there is a wudu comes in the sunnah for those who broke their wudu, wa wudu for those who didn't. Wudu liman ahdath wa wudu liman lam yuhdith. فَمَثَلًا يَقُولْ أَنَسْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ تَوَضَّأَ عُمَرْ وُضُوءًا فِيهِ تَجَوُّزْ وَقَالَ لِي هَذَا وُضُوءُ مَنْ لَمْ يُحْدِثْ. Anas رضي الله عنه said, Umar رضي الله عنه made a fast wudu, a light wudu. And he said, this is the wudu for the one who did not break his wudu. وهذا عند ابن جرير الطبري بإسناد جيد. علي رضي الله عنه, when النزال ابن سبرة described علي رضي الله عنه's وضوء, قال أتى بتور من ماء. They brought a container of water. فأخذ منه كفة. He only filled his hand with water. فمسح به وجهه وذراعه وذراعيه ورأسه ورجله. He basically took the water, wiped his face, wiped his hands, okay, and wiped his head and his feet. Then whatever left in the container, he drank it. وأخذ فضل الماء فشربه. وقال إن أناسا يكرهون هذا. Some people don't like this type of wudu. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَفْعَلُهُ وَهَذَا وُضُوءُ مَنْ لَمْ يُحْدِثُ. He said, but I saw the Prophet ﷺ did it, and this is the wudu of someone who did not break his wudu, reported by النسائي في السنن والإمام أحمد رحمه الله أيضا بإسناد جيد. أيضا في مسند أبي يعلى بإسناد صحيح قال حدثني من كان يخدم أبي العالية يقول أو بإسناد جيد قال حدثني من كان يخدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أبو العالية وذكر وصف وضوئه في المسجد صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال فتوضأ وضوءا خفيفا في جوف المسجد. You'll find that this hadith says النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم made wudu inside the masjid. You know, the masjid in the old days, they don't have a carpet. He said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made wudu and خفيفة, light wudu inside the masjid. Ibn Abbas, he said, I spent the night with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he woke up to pray in the night. قال فلما قام لوضوئه من الليل فتوضأ من شن معلق صلى الله عليه وسلم. He used a water skin that it's hanging on the tent. He opened it and he takes some water from it صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقال وضوءا خفيفا. He made a light wudu. Again the same. My point is to show you the terms that it used in the ahadith. And this hadith ibn Abbas في الصحيحين في البخاري ومسلم. Usama ibn Zayd, also for Bukhari and Muslim, he said, I was with the Prophet ﷺ when we left Arafah in Hajj. So in Nabi ﷺ going from Arafah to where? To Muzdalifah. And he stopped in the middle, Fabal, he urinated. Then he asked for a water. Then, فَتَوَضَّأَ وُضُوءًا خَفِيفًا. He made a light wudu. Then he said, I told him, As-salah, we're going to pray? He said, no, As-salah ahead of us. Then in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continued until he reached Arafah. Did I make my case? Okay, there's an interesting term here. We need to know what that term means, that's right. If you want one more, في صحيح مسلم, في حديث قتادة, when he described the Prophet Abu Qatada radiallahu an, when he described the Prophet wudu in the Battle of Tabuk, he said he was sleeping. He woke up. فَتَوَضَّأَ وُضُوءًا دُونَ وُضُوء. Wudu less than wudu. Yani less than the regular wudu. What that means, when we say light wudu, wudu less than the regular wudu, al-ulama rahimahullah said that means that this wudu is fast. And it means there is less number of washing. So he would not do three times. It would be only one time. Number two, less when it comes to the amount of water. يعني هو أقل من جهة عدد المسحات. أقل من جهة الماء المستخدم. So he handful only. Less amount of water. أيضا اكتفى بالمسح عن الغسل والدلك. So in this case, he will wipe over his body part. He will not wash it. See, he will take the water and he will wipe over his hand like this. He will take the water, his hand is wet. So he will take the wet hand and do like this. Not will carry the water, then he will do like that. So just with the wet hand, he will wipe over his face. Also, that he will not pour the water over the part. No pouring for the water. So, because one of the why, كان مثلا يمسك الماء when it complete. يدير الماء على مرفقيه. He will pour the water over his hand. But the خفيف, the light one, there is nothing like that. You just wipe over it with the wet hand and that's about it. That will be sufficient. طيب. ولذلك النخعي يقول رحمه الله, when it comes to the issue of do you need to pour the water or to, قالوا كانوا يكرهون يعني كبار التابعين وكبار أصحاب ابن مسعود, the elders of the successors and the direct student of ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه, they used to dislike أن يلطموا وجوههم بالماء لطمة وكانوا يمسحونها قليلا قليلا. وهذا في مصنف ابن أبي شيبة. They used to dislike people slap their face with the water. He said they don't like that. Some people when I see he do like this and mashallah the whole entire mirror and like people on the side get the water. You know, like some people like mashallah, and you stand up sometimes to watch people making wudu. With that water that comes on the side, you can catch some and make خفيف وضوء. So, كانوا يكرهون that. قليلا قليلا, very little of water, and they will wipe their face with it. لا يعني مطلقا. This is means absolutely, means not to complete wiping or complete washing a complete part. It doesn't mean يعني you go half the way to the hand. No. Okay? It doesn't mean that you don't complete the face. No. Also, it doesn't mean that you skip one of the part of your body. No. طيب, you might say, Sheikh, but when Ali رضي الله عنه did, he didn't wash his hand. Because washing the hand, as we all know, is sunnah. So one of the khafif, the wudu al-khafif, is basically to do the obligatory only, not the recommended act. Okay? So you might say, what about rinsing the mouth and basically sniffing the water and then blowing it out? Again, this is could be included in the description, he washed his face. It could be included, or he doesn't believe it is wajib. As we're going to know that, inshallah, in next class, I guess, that rinsing the mouth and blowing the nose, عند أبي حنيفة ومالك والشافعي ورواية عند أحمد اختارها جمع من أصحابه, it is recommended. But there is another narration that Imam Ahmad said it's must. and wajib. And we'll talk about this, inshallah, at next class. That's what it means, a wudu khafif, a light wudu. There is another one, which is to perfect your wudu, which we call it in Arabic, isbaghul wudu. When you perfect the wudu. And what's in perfecting the wudu? Number one is three times repetitions. Number two, washing, pouring the water on the, basically, on the body parts, the wudu parts. طيب, المبالغة في المضمضة والاستنشاق. You exaggerate in the gargle or like the rinsing the mouth and basically sniffing the water and blowing it away. Also, these are the difference between the isbagh al-wudu and al-wudu al-khafif, or the light wudu that came in some of the ahadith and the narrations. What time is the salah?